Fergal Darcy on Today FM.
It is Today FM. To get in contact today, 0874 100 102. Friend of the show and all-around nice guy, Chris from Muse, joins us on the line. Hello, sir.
Hello, how's it going?
It is good to chat to you again. Simulation Theory out today, and it is epic, my friend.
Cool, thank you very much. Very kind to say.
I'm loving it. There's more Easter eggs in this album than there is in the film Ready Player One. There is a video for every track.
Yeah.
And I'm getting, like, I get warm and bubbly in my tummy. I'm thinking about the Gremlins, I'm thinking Ghostbusters, Thriller, The Lost Boys, Back to the Future. And I love the reference in Pressure to Rocket Baby Dolls, which was one of your original names.
It was, yeah. That was actually the name that we had for, I think, our first two gigs in early 1994. But I think we kind of realised it was a bit of a mouthful, and we decided we wanted something a little more concise, and decided we wanted a three or four letter name because it looked big on posters rather than Rocket Baby Dolls, which would get lost in a festival lineup poster. That was the thinking.
I don't know. Rocket Baby Dolls has more a better ring to it than Gothic Plague or Fixed Penalty as well.
It does, yeah. But I think the other thing as well was the name came from some sort of art porn film as well. So that was always in the back of our mind that we were kind of named after some dreadful porn film that I think Matt videotaped from his Skybox in the early 90s, and I think that was probably something we wanted to forget, you know?
Yeah, no, there's no harm in that at all. I'm loving the album, in particular, I'm loving some of the releases. They are brilliant. The songs on there, Thought Contagion, Dig Down. The Dark Side, which is kind of the latest song as well, really enjoyed the video to that as well, and plus the sound in it. It's different. It's a different sound for you guys.
It is, yeah. I mean, I think... sorry, excuse me. That was one of the songs that I really kind of latched onto quite early and really enjoyed because it kind of had a sleazy sexiness to it that I think I'd not really heard in anything that we'd done before. But, you know, it still sounded like Muse, but, you know, in terms of kind of rhythm and tempo, it was kind of an unusual kind of thing for us to do. But I think that, you know, the whole album was about that, really, was trying to make an album of stuff that was, you know, a lot of unusual influences and trying to blend different kind of styles and different eras together to try and create something that sounded, you know, fresh and new.
Fergal Darcy on Today FM.
And, you know, trying to explore new territories, I guess.
It still remains quintessential Muse, though. It has that cerebral and musically progressive kind of vibe to it, but still human and emotional, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's always important. You know, it's always difficult sometimes when you're trying to do something new and you try and retain the DNA of the band and the things that make us Muse. You know, it's very, very easy to sometimes forget those when you're kind of experimenting with all these new ideas. So I think that's always been the challenge for us, and not just on this album, but on previous albums as well, where we've, you know, stepped out of our comfort zone a little bit and tried something new, and then it's always like, well, you know, we have to try and make sure that it still sounds like the same band, you know. So hopefully it's not such a wild difference that people don't recognise it, but, you know, I don't think that's the case. I think it still sounds very much like a Muse album. It's just, you know, the influences have come from different places, I think.
Yeah, I really like the theme that you have, over the past two albums, really, with Drones as well, that theme of emerging artificial intelligence and automation. And I think that's something that it's quite evident in the songs. Like, you know, Algorithm, it's a song about mistrust, but wanting to embrace technology kind of thing, you know?
I think so. I think a lot of it's about the conflict as well, you know? It's the kind of, you know, we kind of want to embrace technology, but we also want to escape it as well. And, you know, particularly the last, you know, 15 years, you know, there's so many things that we have in our homes now that kind of simulate things for us, and it seems to be getting more and more intense, this kind of presence of technology and our reliance on technology, that it kind of takes over to the point where you feel like I kind of love it, but I don't know if I like it that much either, you know. And, you know, sometimes you kind of find yourself absorbed in this, you know, this almost kind of fantasy world, really, of all this technology that can do all these amazing things for you and keep you entertained, when actually there's a part of you that thinks I just want to go and walk in the woods and see some nature, you know.
Yeah, do you know, Chris, what it is for me? It scares the shit out of me, and I mean this, right? Because the music industry in particular, that's the first kind of step of automation, really, wasn't it? Because, like, you know, you and the guys back in the 90s, you spent years perfecting, and you had a Mustang bass, for God's sake. You spent years trying to, first of all, afford a decent instrument, and then learning to play the instruments, and now you just see some dude rock up with a laptop, and that team is there. When I listen to music, it's like, oh God, is technology killing off everything we do? As long as music have guitars and drums, I'm happy, you know what I mean?
You know, exactly, yeah. I mean, you know, for us, it's always important that we, you know, we retain that element of what we are and where we came from. But, you know, it, like I said, it is this kind of trying to find the balance between being who we are as humans and fulfilling our obsessions with technology as well, to try and hopefully create something positive, you know.
Yeah, you've paid homage in a couple of the videos. I'm loving the artwork, by the way, which, if anyone hasn't checked it out, check it out. It's by Kyle Lambert, who does Stranger Things, Jurassic Park, all that. It's his stuff that you've used on the album, which is brilliant. But you do pay homage to certain things. I said, like, Back to the Future, which is kind of, these are kind of, they're like prophet films. They kind of say things that have happened, you don't think they're going to happen, and then they do happen. And this is kind of happens with your music all the time. For instance, take Uprising. It's one of those songs. It's the most hit song. It's the most hit song that you guys have. And, you know, at the time it was about kind of distrust for the political establishment. But now it's kind of become, it kind of shows the rise of populism with people, because it's a song that's relevant to almost everything now.
Yeah, it was quite scary, actually. I think it was about a year or so after Uprising came out, or maybe a little longer. And there were certain things that were... you know, happening around the world. I think the one that really kind of scared me was the riots in London. And it was really strange because I think I had the news on, but I also had my iPod on shuffle on a dock in my hotel room. And the news was showing, you know, all of these riots in London and all this kind of chaos going off. And then my iPod just very randomly shuffled to Uprising.
Oh my God.
And it was a little bit like, oh my God, we've created this.
In fact, that's actually the same way some people listen to The Dark Side of the Moon and watch The Wizard of Oz. We should encourage people to actually watch the London riots and listen to Uprising, because it is one of those scary things that when you see it, but it is so relevant. It is relevant. And I think it's one of those, that's the reason why it never got old. The last time we spoke about streaming and how the future of music almost seems to be, you know, single releases, and then because this whole streaming thing has come in now and it's it's huge, rather than album releases. So that's why it's been a minute since your last album. But Simulation Theory, it is out there today, and people should really check it out, because it is a continuation of the stuff you do. I noticed that when you announced the dates, there's no Irish date there yet, so I'll just have to go to London on June 1st. But am I right in saying not to hold the phone here yet? Because, you know, usually the way these things happen is there may or may not be a couple of dates added to the Simulation Theory tour.
I'm sure there will be dates added. I think you know, it's very, very difficult to, you know, obviously there's logistical things and venue availabilities and all that kind of stuff that comes into play when you announce a tour. So I'm pretty sure that every tour we've ever announced has never ended up being the tour, you know. And, you know, the general thing is that, you know, we do a sort of batch of touring, and, you know, throughout that touring process, more and more dates get added to it, and festivals and things like that. So whatever the tour dates say right now, I'm 99.9% positive that, you know, things will be added to it, and it certainly won't end up being the final tour. You know, I'm sure we will come to Ireland at some point. And don't worry, because I had exactly the same thing from the Australians this morning as well.
That sounds, but see you in Slane Castle, so that's no. Well, I'm loving that. So listen, come here. Just to wrap it all up, right? The album is out there. People need to check it out. If there's a particular song on that album that is your favourite to play at the moment, because obviously when you're touring an album, you got to like the album. So what song out there is Chris's song? What's the song that, like, you love when it comes to, you're like, oh, I cannot wait to bang my bass off to this.
Do you know what? I'm not sure, because we've got a load of rehearsals coming up, because a lot of these songs we haven't even attempted to play yet. So I think we've played like four or five of them, but I really enjoy playing The Dark Side. Pressure's always good fun to play. I'm actually really excited to play Algorithm, the first track off the album. I think that will be a great song to play live. You know, obviously there's a lot of very, very fat synth-based stuff going on that we'll somehow have to try and figure out a way of doing live. But yeah, that one in particular, I think I'm very excited about playing live.
I got very excited last night. I was at U2 in the Point Depot, and the last time I saw you guys would have been in Belfast, but before that the Drones tour was in the Point Depot as well, in the Three Arena. And I have to say this, I'm looking forward to this because rumour has it that for this tour that the idea is that you would maybe have a cast of people and some choreography as well.
I think that's the idea, is that, you know, obviously the Drones tour was very technology heavy, you know, and there was a lot of things in that tour that, you know, were quite new, that had never really been done live before, you know, particularly the drones flying around the arena and a lot of the visual content and, you know, the visual that we used for the song The Handler, where you have the kind of puppet strings that actually followed us around wherever we walked, you know, that was all really new and had never been done on a, certainly not on a tour before. So, you know, we were kind of thinking maybe this would be a good opportunity to maybe sidestep from the technology a little bit. And, you know, I'm sure there will be technology elements to the show, and there has to be to some degree. But I think one thing we've talked about a lot, and we've kind of explored a little bit, you know, if we go back to the, you know, 2013 when we did our last stadium tour, where we started to mess around with the idea of getting a few actors in on the stage show. So we did that for a couple of songs, and I think we quite enjoyed doing that, having other people. So, you know, and I think there's been quite a few shows recently. I mean, one that really struck a nerve with me was David Byrne. I went to see that.
You absolutely loved it. Went to see it last week, actually.
Oh, it was absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, almost, I had no idea of what the show was going to be until I got there. And, you know, he's not somebody that I'm massively familiar with, and I actually went with my girlfriend and her parents, and you know, they were big fans, and I was absolutely blown away with the show. And
when he goes four songs in and he plays Once in a Lifetime and This Must Be the Place, you're kind of going, okay, this is going to be a big concert. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, and the thing that was so magical about that show was that it wasn't particularly reliant on technology, and actually, you know, the stage set itself was a relatively static vessel, you know, and, you know, all of the emotion and all of the feeling of the show came from human beings, and that was something that I really, really liked, because there is this kind of, you know, particularly when you play live now, and, you know, not just for us, but for a lot of, you know, bigger bands who play in big rooms, is that you tend to want to fill it with technology and special effects, and actually you can produce something equally as emotional or spectacular by going back to the olden days and using people, you know.
Yeah, going back to your roots, it's very, very true. Thought Contagion is out today. Go out and get your hands on it. They have announced the dates for the tour as well. How do I describe it? If you're looking for a spectacle like U2 and the energy of Rage Against the Machine, only better, that's Muse live. So do check that out. Chris, it has been a pleasure talking to you again, my friend.
Cool, thanks very much.
Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you too. Cheers, mate.
Fergal Darcy on Today FM.